From Washington, VOA presents Issues in the News.
Welcome to Issues in the News. On the panel this week, Dan Raviv, senior correspondent for I-24 News, J.J. Green, national security correspondent for WTOP and host of Target USA. And our moderator is Michael Williams, contributor to CBS Radio in Washington.
Welcome, everyone. Here are the issues. The scandal involving allegations of abuse of power by U.S. President Donald Trump widened and deepened as more documents and testimony were produced, and after President Trump made a stunning public plea to Ukraine and China to investigate his political rival, Joe Biden. The Ukraine scandal and a health scare for U.S. presidential candidate Bernie Sanders shook up the Democratic field as Biden and Elizabeth Warren continued to separate themselves from the pack of contenders. Welcome, panelists.
Thank you. We have a lot to do today.
This has been an extraordinary week or two in Washington politics. It seems like just a couple of weeks ago we were talking about weather charts and Alabama's inclusion in them, and now we're talking about impeachment. It's just been an extraordinary week. What I'd like to do here is to put the pieces on the chessboard and try to get a feeling for how they're positioned now and where they might be moved in the near future for our audience. So, we have a whistleblower complaint. Where we started out this week is talking about a whistleblower complaint alleging abuse of power by the president and others inside and outside of the administration. Let's start, Dan, with that, with the whistleblower complaint.
I'd like to do that in part because we know we have a global audience, right? People who listen and say, what's a whistleblower? There are people who live in countries where there could not possibly be a whistleblower.
That's right.
That is pretty much defined here in Washington as someone who is a government employee working for the government, and they see an abuse. Usually it means that their boss or someone else they see in the government is doing something that's illegal or lining their own pockets with money or just abusing the system, and then they report it. They're blowing the whistle on something bad they see. And here in the United States, there are laws to protect whistleblowers, to actually encourage people who work in the government to speak up, to report if they see something they think is wrong. And so they are protected. They won't be fired for reporting it. Now, this is very unusual. Just a few weeks ago, we learned that someone, we didn't know a man or a woman, even in what agency, but someone working in the intelligence community here, filed a complaint against the ultimate boss, the president of the United States. That person now reported to be a man who worked in the CIA and for a while was assigned to the White House, felt that he was seeing abuses by the president. He wrote it up in a brief but eloquent and detailed report, and he wanted to send it to Congress. And frankly, his bosses in the intelligence community and the White House and President Trump's Department of Justice all blocked the complaint from going to Congress for at least a few weeks. Mm-hmm. Eventually, when Congress complained, it went to Congress, it went public, and because of this anonymous person saying that President Trump abused his powers, we now have what you, Michael, called a scandal that could even lead to the president being impeached.
And I think it's worth it to read a paragraph or two from the whistleblower's letter introducing these allegations.
Well, that's his complaint.
In the course of my official duties, I have received information from multiple U.S. government officials that the president of the United States is using the power of his office to solicit interference from a foreign country in the 2020 U.S. election. This interference includes, among other things, pressuring a foreign country to investigate one of the president's main domestic political rivals. The president's personal lawyer, Mr. Rudolph Giuliani, is a central figure in this effort. Attorney General Barr appears to be involved as well. It goes on to detail these allegations and talk about the sources for them and that sort of thing. JJ, you're a perfect person to talk to about this because these are national security issues, are they not?
Yes, they are. And, you know, they go right to the heart of the whistleblower decision, as Dan pointed out. This person, we believe, is a CIA employee who worked in the White House. And those people typically are always on alert for issues of national security, specifically when it comes to activities and engagements. Their role is to advise the president and the White House on regional issues and issues they know about that have to do with national security issues. So when something comes up, whether it's directly or as we have heard in this complaint, this person learned through other people that something wasn't quite right, it strikes to the heart of where we are right now in this impeachment inquiry. This is uncharted territory for us now. We've had impeachments before, but in the era that we live in now, the kind of activity that's being alleged is not something we've heard of before. And, you know, Pamela Constable from the Washington Post is one of my favorite writers. She has been in Afghanistan for years, and she wrote an opinion piece saying she's returning here after being in Afghanistan for years, and she's returning to a country that she doesn't know. And this is speaks to the heart, I think, of why this perhaps this whistleblower was driven to do this, something that's unheard of. It's uncharted territory, and things are changing now, and there's some very serious national security implications on the table.
But our listeners should know that President Trump doesn't even feel he did anything wrong. Every indication is that when he chats with reporters, which he's still willing to do, even though he's angry at the press, feeling that most of the news media are against him, he's willing to talk. And that's why, all of a sudden, really surprising people on a Thursday morning on the White House lawn, he said not only should Ukraine be investigating Joe Biden and his son and what they did getting money out of Ukraine, but China should do so also. Some people thought he's impeaching himself, right there brazenly asking for a foreign government to get involved in U.S. politics.
But Let me interject here real quickly, because that's a very good point, and that it seems to be that the president's strategy is this can't be a crime, it can't be wrong, because I'm doing it in full public view. However, you have the situation where, as the whistleblower alleges, documents and readouts from these calls, like the call that was made with the Ukrainian president, were being moved from a server where these types of calls are normally logged to a server that had very limited access, a secret code word secrecy level.
A special server at the White House. Well, JJ, is that incriminating?
Which amounts to a cover-up of sorts.
This is precisely why I was saying what I said earlier about supposedly CIA whistleblower doing this, because there are things happening that are not normal, uncharted territory, irregularities that suggest something is going on. And just one quick thing about what Dan said regarding the president. My question is it that he doesn't know, or is it that he simply doesn't believe that what he's doing is wrong?
This is an open question. Is ignorance a defense?
Including, Michael, what you pointed out, that if he says it out in the open, I want Ukraine to investigate corruption and Joe Biden is corrupt. Keep in mind, Joe Biden is a leading candidate in the Democratic Party for the election campaign next year. So people who think this is all outrageous and that the president should be impeached, and later I hope we'll cover again for our foreign audience what is impeachment, at least in brief, right? Yeah. It's not removing him from office, but it would be a vote by the House of Representatives to impeach him, to put a black mark on his record, and then he'd have to stand trial in the U.S. Senate. So Democrats at least want to put it on the record that they are absolutely certain that the president has violated norms, has abused his powers. And at the White House, I can tell you, many officials don't have anything to say to defend the president on this one.
Well, it's been no comment from the White House.
And from many Republicans in Congress as well. And so the president is defending himself. But as we're saying, he doesn't think he violated any laws. He knows he's violating norms, because to Donald Trump, the normal way of doing things for decades was horrible. As he puts it, China was ripping us off. The world was ripping us off. He's proud that he's changing how things are done.
And just one really quick footnote. I was in the presence of some leading or some top intelligence community officials today, and this all boils down to the intelligence community, because that's where this whole thing came from. A person who's a member of that community, they have nothing to say publicly. Privately, what they say is, we believe in the Whistleblower Protection Act, we believe in the series of protections that have been put in place, which sends a very strong message privately, but they're not saying anything publicly.
We've heard a Latin phrase kicked around this town this week, and actually forever, quid pro quo. And people are talking about, is there a quid pro quo in what the president said? Meaning, in his conversation with President Zelensky, was he asking for something in return for releasing defense assets that were promised to Ukraine previously? It's unclear and debatable about whether that quid pro quo exists. With texts that were released recently, or recently released texts from testimony from U.S. envoy Kurt Volker, you see what appears to be a very clear quid pro quo, where U.S. government officials are being used to engineer an investigation into a political opponent. There doesn't seem to be any obfuscation about it. And so the question is it right or is it wrong? Is it legal? Is it not?
Republicans, among the members of Congress who heard Kurt Volker speak, he was the coordinator of U.S. policy on Ukraine. He resigned when this apparent scandal erupted. So it's believed that he's a professional. He wanted to tell the truth. And in about 10 hours of testimony behind closed doors, he brought text messages that he and others had exchanged on all this, including the role of Rudy Giuliani, President Trump's personal lawyer and emissary. I read it as a debate from what was then released by members of Congress, a debate where I would say that most of the U.S. diplomats involved were upset and outraged that Giuliani was trying to set up an exchange, as you say, a quid pro quo, with the president of Ukraine, that only if you investigate corruption, apparently a euphemism for investigating Joe Biden, the former vice president, only then will you get the aid that you expect. But there's one voice in there. It happens to be a Trump appointee. He's actually a millionaire political contributor who's become the U.S. ambassador to the European Union.
Gordon Sondland.
Yes, and Ambassador Sondland wrote in all those exchanges, he said, "You're all wrong," he basically wrote. "There's no quid pro quo. The president's been crystal clear. He just wants them to investigate corruption."
Let's get a timeline on that, though. Let's talk about a couple of the text messages that were sent prior to Gordon Sondland's text message that you just referenced.
These would be some of the diplomats upset with what's going on.
Correct. We have Gordon Sondland texting to Kurt Volker on August 9th. I think POTUS, really, POTUS being the president of the United States, POTUS really wants the deliverable, as he's talking about a deal for a meeting between President Trump and President Zelensky. "Once we have a date, we can call for a press briefing announcing upcoming visit and outlining vision for U.S.-Ukraine relationship," texts Andrei Yernak, who is a senior official for the Ukraine, talking about the meeting. So clearly there's a meeting that's
the
being arranged.
The only way you're
going to
get a meeting in Washington is if you satisfy President Trump.
And just one more I'd like to read, which is from Brian Taylor, who is also a U.S. Diplomat in Ukraine, regarding Ukraine. "Are we now saying that the security assistance and White House meeting are conditioned on investigations?" He says a week later, "As I said on the phone, I think it's crazy to withhold security assistance for help with a political campaign." These are unambiguous.
But that's when Sondland, Ambassador Sondland, wrote
after
back that,
that you've
got it all wrong. There's nothing wrong with what President Trump is doing. So even among the diplomats, disagreement, but deep discomfort that the president behaves this way.
Well, there was a debate going on, as you said, Dan. That's what was going on. And when you look at the reality of it, we don't know what the nuances around these text messages are. As you mentioned, Michael, they look very damning. But what were the conversations that took place, verbal conversations that weren't in text? What were the other activities?
Are they better or are they worse for the president?
Well, what are the other activities that undergird the text messages and essentially are the foundation of the interaction?
That's what Congress will investigate.
Exactly. That's, I believe, what they want to hear. But what we're looking at this point is, again, one of these situations where you seem to have people who recognize that there is a danger here. And I think that brings us right back to the whistleblower complaint.
We're going to have to take a quick break there. We'll be back with more Issues in the News.
Issues in the News is coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. If you would like to download the program, it's free on iTunes. Just click on the iTunes tab on our website at voanews.com. While you're there, check out our other programs, Press Conference USA and Encounter. Also visit us on Facebook and leave a comment or two. Then like us at Current Affairs with Carol Castiel. Now back to our panel. Dan Rabib, senior correspondent for I-24 News. J.J. Green, national security correspondent for WTOP and host of Target USA. And our moderator, Michael Williams, contributor to CBS Radio in Washington.
Welcome back. Let's stay with this issue, and I want to shift the conversation to a juxtaposition, a comparison of the political implications here versus the government implications, because part of this is about politics. When we talk about campaigning and we talk about the effect on what Joe Biden's campaign is and the president's prospects for remaining in office, these are political issues. But there are government issues here when we talk about what's legal and what's not. How do the president's actions affect his relationship with the public, with the government, with the Constitution of the United States? So I'm going to start with you, Dan. Politically, possibly the president has a leg to stand on. Does he have a leg to stand on when it comes to good government?
Well, it can be a matter of right or wrong. Of course, voters get to decide. It was a very close election in 2016. Hillary Clinton got more votes than Donald Trump. But when you add it up state by state, the so-called electoral votes, he won. He plans to win again next year. He claims that he's got enough support in the public opinion polls. And so politically, you know, like, that's the analysis. Can he win again next year? And he claims he can. Definitely, his re-election campaign has raised a record amount of money, way ahead of the Democrats. And so at least among Americans who have money, Donald Trump still has support. Now, as he explains how he runs things, again, he's proud of being different, of changing things. He claims to be more honest than previous presidents because he's willing to chat with reporters and say what's on his mind and to even openly call on China to investigate his rival Joe Biden. So without any sense of shame, certainly no apology, that's his style. Now, you talked about politics. Impeachment is a political decision. That's why it's almost a given. With the Democrats having a majority in the House of Representatives, I believe it's true the president is going to be impeached.
Again,
not removed from office, but within a month or two, he'll be impeached. Then there would be a trial in the Senate. The Republicans have a majority. And in any event, his opponents would need a two-thirds majority of the Senate to convict him and remove him from office. So that's probably not going to happen. So that's the political picture. Will it help him or hurt him? You know who's being hurt? Joe Biden, I think, is being hurt because again and again, his name and his son, Hunter Biden, that comes up with the president saying the Bidens are corrupt, the Bidens are corrupt. And you can dispute it. You can say there's no evidence. You can say investigations led nowhere. But he will keep on saying it. So is Joe Biden the best choice for the Democratic Party in making the candidate for the White House? Or will someone like Elizabeth Warren, one of Biden's rivals, now rush forward? There are signs in the opinion polls that may occur.
I think that's one of the bitter pills that the Democrats are swallowing right now is that it's almost a mission accomplished, a fait accompli in that Joe Biden has been hit by this dirt. There's been some effective use of this allegation to infer that there's some wrongdoing on the part of the Bidens, even though there have been numerous investigations that have turned up no wrongdoing by either Hunter Biden or Joe Biden. Not saying it's a good look for what they did and the situation that they were under when you have Hunter Biden working for a gas company in Ukraine when his father is heading up U.S. policy in the Ukraine. It's not a good look. I want to go to you, JJ, on this one. Politics versus government.
Right.
Let's talk about good government. And what I'd want you to do is to put yourselves in the position of a Republican and have them close their eyes and imagine Hillary Clinton on the south lawn of the White House saying, I would like to have a foreign government investigate my political opponent, Donald Trump. Would that fly with Republicans?
Well, like you said, Michael, it's not a good look. I mean, and it's not just a not a good look politically, but it's also not a good look when you consider who's watching, when you consider the world is watching. And here's the reason why it's not a good global look. And this is because we know that the Russians meddled in the 2016 election. We know that they created a blueprint that other countries are jumping on and beginning to utilize. We also know that looking at today's technology and looking at how much we know about a president from the president himself tweeting, news conferences where he does all these things and this, that, and the other. This is the thing that foreign governments want, is insight into political thinking. That's more valuable to them than military or S&T, science and technology, information about a country. So what they're doing through this impeachment process, through this entire process, is learning more information about the U.S., which they're able to use in coordination with stuff like big data to form a bigger picture of the U.S. And I would argue, and I may be out of school here, but when you look back at the U.S. in the 1930s and 40s, the Russian intelligence presence here was, it was massive. And in the U.K. and the U.S. sort of was not really doing a whole lot there. So what I'm saying very simply here is that this is creating a playing field for U.S. adversaries and enemies that gives them essentially an open book into everything that's going on. And they can use this information however they wish. And again, it's just not a good look globally.
So it's serving Putin quite well to have this sort of conflict.
And Xi and Rouhani, and you know, just look around the world, Kim Jong-un, everybody is going to school on what they're learning, not only from the president, but from Congress, from the Democrats, the Republicans, and from American society, and they will use that information. They are using that information. In fact, very last thing on this, the FBI, Washington Field Office, put out an ad on Facebook. It's in Russian, inviting people who have information to come see them.
Fascinating.
Okay.
Absolutely fascinating. Going back to government, I mean, if you look at where this is going, as you say, there's going to be an impeachment process, as you say, and it's almost sort of an essay writing exercise because you end up with these articles of impeachment where a description of charges that would be sent to the Senate for a trial where the president would stand for removal, potentially. The president's, let's call it the red wall, which is a combination of conservative media in the country and the entire Republican political complex, is still firmly behind the president. However, there is not so much support as there is silence from the Senate right now, which is where the president would stand trial. Is there a tipping point for Republican senators that you see that would make them start to consider holding the president responsible.
Well, there could be. We're old enough to remember and in fact to have covered two other impeachment inquiries, one against Richard Nixon, 1973 and 1974.
And significantly, the impeachment never happened with Richard Nixon.
No, it didn't, but Richard Nixon resigned from office rather than being impeached because, of course, he was being humiliated, and he had a clear word that even his party, the Republicans, were turning their backs on him, that they believed that he, Richard Nixon, was guilty of high crimes, and so then he realized and he resigned before being impeached. Bill Clinton in 1998 and 1999 was impeached by the House and then acquitted by the Senate, though on one of the charges in the Senate, the vote was 50 to 50. Again, his enemies would have needed two-thirds to remove him. But it felt like it does now that even members of the president's own party, if they're in the U.S. Senate, they say, oh, I'm going to have to be the judge. If this case goes to the Senate, I don't want to say much. And here's where Republicans in the U.S. Senate right now kind of have an excuse not to say anything. They're not criticizing the president. They're not defending him. They're trying to act very neutral because they might be the judge and probably will be in an impeachment trial. Privately, what do we hear? Certainly from Republicans who work on Capitol Hill on the staffs of House members and senators. They don't like the president's style. They find it to be vulgar and crass. They say he's damaging U.S. diplomacy and how the government operates. They like the effects again. They say the economy is strong. The unemployment rate has fallen to 3.5%. Which is nearly full employment. They say in some parts of the world, it's great that we took a stand. Many Republicans are proud of what President Trump is doing, walking away even from the climate change accord and the Iran nuclear agreement.
Yes, I'll give you the last word on this, but it will sort of segue into more into the politics and the election on the Democratic side, JJ.
Well, I just go back to what we have already established, that it's not a good look. Anything that's going on with any of this is not a good look, and there are lasting implications that are going to have to be contended with after this is over. The U.S., in many people's minds, has lost a lot of ground, lost a lot of its luster, lost a lot of its power, regardless of what you think of the president, but the fighting with the Congress, the intelligence, the whole business. You know, so it's not a good look, and it's something that's going to last for a while.
We will have some lingering effects from this. I know in Washington, we have a feeling of more sort of dread and angst than there is outside the Beltway. We talked about this earlier, Dan, where the average person who sees this as politics thinks, well, maybe it's important, maybe it isn't. But I think those people who are concerned with government and the operation of government feel a good deal more anxious.
Fair enough, but as you're pointing out, these people are, you know, our citizens will be voters next year. So they'll have to decide, do they still want Donald Trump to be president or a Democrat? And let's talk about it. We still don't know who that Democratic Party candidate will be.
Indeed. I think we can agree that as far as this issue is concerned, we're not at the beginning of the end. We're at the end of the beginning.
So exactly.
There's a whole lot more to come. Before we finish, I wanted to go to a couple of other subjects. Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders underwent a heart procedure this week that will keep him off the campaign trail for some time. 2 weeks, I think, was the number that doctors were giving. And polling in the key primary state of New Hampshire shows Senator Elizabeth Warren with a slight lead over Joe Biden. You alluded to before, Dan, you think that this scandal is hurting Joe Biden.
Well, there still are about 20 Democrats running for their party's nomination to be president. Many people focus on the top four or top five. So the field will narrow down, certainly in the coming weeks. Joe Biden isn't going to drop out, a former vice president. Still, as he campaigns in some of the first states that will vote next year, Iowa and New Hampshire, you know, he finds a lot of support, but he's apparently not number one in those states. And Elizabeth Warren, a Harvard law professor who became a senator, considered very pro-consumer, and Republicans consider her to be a dangerous socialist. And apparently Wall Street really doesn't want Elizabeth Warren. By the way, a lot of voters across the country, if they hear that Wall Street and rich people don't like Elizabeth Warren, they may like Elizabeth Warren. So she seems to be in the ascendant right now.
Is Bernie Sanders done with this health scandal? He's 78 years old and he just had a heart procedure.
Give me the crystal ball, man. And I will tell you that, you know, anybody that's 78 that has that kind of issue needs to take care of themselves. And to be honest about this, being on the campaign trail, it's hard to do, but just something really quickly about the process here. This is a galvanizing moment for people, voters or consumers or however you want to look at them. And regardless of who your candidate is or what your politics are, it's a galvanizing moment. And this moment is more important, I would say, than any moment that we've been in recent times, in part because of the fact a lot of people don't really consume massive amounts of news anymore. What they consume are headlines. What they consume are bits and pieces of news and information, and they don't really go in depth into things. That's the real risk that we're facing right now, is while everybody everybody's galvanized to do something. What will they do and why will they do it? What's going to drive them to do it? Are they going to have the information to make the right choice when they go to the voting booth? That's the real issue from my perspective that we're facing.
That's all the time we have for today. Thanks to Dan Revive, senior Washington correspondent for I-24 News, and J.J. Green, national security correspondent for WTOP and host of Target USA. This program is produced by VOA's Carol Castiel. Our engineer is Justin Thwaites. And I'm Michael Williams. Thanks for listening.